I don't understand what's going on.
Why should this be so complicated? About how many spaces
so there. What we learned yesterday is very easy. Yesterday was these days when it gets really complicated.
Why should it get so complicated?
Because we'll see why. We'll see in a few moments why. So far, we pretty much learned what we do halacha l'mayis. So far, we learned what is called a psucha nistuma. A parasha psucha is when the parasha begins on the beginning of a line. The previous line, the previous section ends in the middle of the line, the beginning of the line. There has to be at least, halacha l'maisa, 9 blank spaces. Okay, that's what we do, halacha l'maisa, today. 9 blank spaces. Then it begins on the next section begins in the beginning of them. That's why it's called psucha. It is pasuach. It is open on, I guess, the right side. On the right side, there's no text whatsoever. The way we write a stuma is we begin the next section at the end of a line, and the previous section finishes in the beginning of the line or in the middle of the line, and there is a blank space of 9 letters in between the previous section and the next section. That's a parsha stuma. Now, stuma means closed. Sosum means closed. So why is it called stuma? It's closed on the right and it's closed on the left. If you look at when the new parasha begins, if you go to the left, this letters. That's the beginning of the parasha. You go to the right, after you skip the blank space of 9 blank letters, you come in contact with more letters, because that's the letters which conclude the previous section. That is the way we write a psukh. And we also learned the Rambam, this Nogei Halacha L'Mayis as well, we learned the Rambam also says, is that in the event you finish, when you're writing the Sefer Torah, you don't have 9 letters at the end of the line, you keep on writing, and you come to the very end of the line, and there's not enough 9 letters, and the next parasha is a parasha psucha, you have no choice but to skip a blank line. So if a Sefer was writing Sefer Torah, and he made a mistake, he comes to the very end, he skips the blank line, and the next section begins after a blank line, and that would also be called a parsha pesucha. Now today,
what would be the other choice? If you
there is no other choice. You have no. The other choice would be to erase. The other choice would be that you have to go back and you have to erase.
You leave less than 9 spaces.
You got to be very careful. So today it's not going to happen, because today the seifrim have a guide. They have a tikkun in the seifrim, and they know exactly where to end the parsha to guarantee that there's going to be a blank space of 9 letters, so when they begin the next section, it should begin the beginning of a line. So today it's not going to happen that you're going to have to skip a blank line. But it is Nogei Halacha L'Maisa, because if you notice, Oz Yashir, and maybe there are some other sections, I don't know exactly which section in the Torah, maybe Hazinu, could be it's at the end of Hazinu, I believe at the end of Hazinu, so Hazinu has to be written, also Oz Yashir as well, has to be written. That's a special halacha l'moshe Yisinai. That it's written in 2 columns. Okay, let me turn to the page.
Hazinu is written in 2 columns.
2 columns. That's a special halacha l'moshe Yisinai. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, the last line is v'chiper admoso amo. Now, if you look in the Sefer Torah, what happens when you finish the last line of Hazinu? V'nakom yoshuv litzora v'chiper admoso amo. There's a blank line. Why is there a blank line? Why can't you just start the next words, Vayavo Moshe, the next Aliyah, immediately after the Shira ends? For example, Megillas Esther. Okay, Megillas Esther, we today have to look if this is true, but Megillas Esther, if I'm not mistaken, Megillas Esther, the Aseres B'nei Haman are written today on 1 column. Uh-huh. Okay, that's the way. You're not going to buy a Megillah today. But in the old Megillahs, it was not like that. Right. In the old Megillahs, Aseres B'nei Haman were on top. There's a whole question. But many times it's on top. You have 11 lines. And after the 11 lines, Chamesh Me'os Ish. Okay, then the Aseres B'nei Haman Ben Hamdasa. There is no blank line. After the Aseret, the old Megillus, you look at the old Megillus, there is no blank line after you come to Aseret Bnei Haman, going into what follows the Aseret Bnei Haman. So the question is, if in the Aseret Bnei Haman you write in 2 columns, and there's no blank line, there's no blank line that follows, you just go right into the next text. Why then in our Sefer Torah, when in Hazinu, when we finish Hazinu, is there a blank line at the end of Hazinu and Vayavo Moshe Vaidaber El Skol Devei Yashir Azos Biozne Ha'am? So the answer is, I'm assuming this is correct, maybe I'm wrong because I noticed he doesn't say over here Parsha, is a Parsha Psucha. Vayavo Moshe, this is mamish an illustration of the halacha that we learned yesterday. Assuming, maybe I'm wrong, assuming that Vayavo Moshe is a Parsha Psucha, there are two ways to write a Parsha Psucha Lefi, the Rambam. Either you leave over 9 blank letters in the previous line, and you begin the Parsha Psucha on the beginning, the very beginning of the next line. But in the event that you did not do so, which is perfectly fine, you want to go and you want to write the previous Parsha to the very, very end of the row, very end of the line, and you need to begin the next Parsha as a Parsha Psucha, the solution is you just leave a blank line. And according to the Rambam, that's called the Parsha Psucha. We don't do that. In all the Sefer Torah, it's never going to happen because everything is so perfectly arranged. But there is an example. And the example, or two examples, is number one, assuming that Vayavoy Moshe is a Parsha Psucha, there is no way that you can leave over in the previous line 9 blank letters, because the previous line is Hazinu, and Hazinu has to be written in 2 columns. So the last line of Hazinu must conclude at the end of the line, V'chiper ad Moso Amo, and if Vayavoy Moshe is a Parsha Psucha, you may not start and leave in the next line. So the halacha demands, Lufi the Rambam, that you leave a blank line in between the end of Hazinu and the beginning of the next Parsha Psucha. Now that's what I thought in preparation for today, but I opened the article Chumash, there is no pay here. So it caused me to wonder, maybe there's another, maybe it's just a hal, I don't know why. Maybe there is no pay. Every time there's a Parsha Psucha, there's always a pay or a sap or a stuma, they always put a pay or a sama. And here they did not put a letter pay over here at the end of at the beginning. So I'm really wondering what's going on. Maybe if there is no pace, maybe there's another reason why we will leave a blank line, and maybe there'll be a nafkamina if he made a mistake. He didn't leave the blank line. I don't know the answer. In Oz Yashir, there are 2 blank lines. Okay, this is also a topic of discussion. There's nothing. In Hazinu, Hazinu ends the Chibed Moso Amo, and then it begins as a blank line, Vayavo Moshe. What happened to the pay? It's not a Parsha Psucha. It's not a Parsha Psucha. Why is there a blank line? If there's no need to be a blank line, there should not be a blank line, because that's not the right thing to do.
Separate the Shira from the rest of the.
So that's part. So what he's saying is, didn't the Shira? It's part of Halacha L'Moshe. It's the same way you write the Shira in 2 columns. There should be a blank line separating the end of the Shira.
Separation of the Shira.
Is that really true?
Well, the Shira was Azir Shira Moshe Ben Israel. In other words, God wrote the Sefer Torah, basically, but nevertheless, Azir Shira Hazinu was for Moshe Rabbeinu himself, and he separated from the rest, and by Yavol Moshe, obviously, once again being dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
But it's still part.
The next word after Vikisharat Moso Amo is by Yavol Moshe. Separated from the rest of the Chumash to say this is what Klal Yisrael said and this is what Moshe said, and now we're back to what I said.
Yeah, you don't have a blank line.
That's not a tikkun that you're looking.
It's a
Chumash. No, you still have it.
But our scroll, they're very precise.
You don't have a blank line.
They're very precise. What? In Oz Yashir, you have a blank line. Oz Yashir, before Oz Yashir, you have a blank line. Why? So if you assume the Shira is a Parsha Psucha, and the previous Parsha ends at the end of the line, you must have a blank line. At the end of the Shira, again, there's a blank line. You don't have blank lines. You don't just make blank lines. You don't make blank lines for nothing in the Sefer Torah. We learned yesterday a blank line. We learned yesterday a blank line is required when you have a Parsha Psucha Lefi the Rambam. So let's go a little bit further. Now, we learned yesterday halacha l'maisa the way we do it through the Rambam. Now we close. We're going to jump around. We're not going to spend on just too many. I'm going to just point out some things. I have 3 pages over here. Just jump around a few different paragraphs here and there. The Rosh disagrees. The Rosh has a different interpretation, a different understanding of where, how to make a parsha psucha and a parsha stuma.
There is a parsha psucha at the end.
You do have it. at the end of Oz Yashir. Vatikach Miriam?
Right before Vatikach Miriam,
I don't have it.
This
art scroll? What is this?
The old
Sharfman.
Maybe the sum indicate that there should be a space, but if they print the space, they don't have to put the.
They do both. In art scroll, they do both. Art scroll, they do both. They have the space and they print the samach or a pay. I also, you have to ask the editors. You have to go back to the editors of Art Scroll and ask them. You have to ask the editors. I have no doubt it was done with a cheshbon. There's a reason, especially pointing out now that in the other chumash, the sharf, in the English chumash, they do have a pay. They do have a pay. So it's something which is interesting. We mentioned yesterday there are 275. We mentioned yesterday there are 275 suchos and stumos. That's the tradition. So, if you count the shira, does that add to the number? Does that diminish the number? How do you reconcile? You have to go do all the counting. I'm just making this observation. All right, Rabbi, please. Let's now go to the Rosh. Ois Dalet. Ois up to Ois Dalet. The Rosh has a different understanding. I don't. They do okay. In the old Shulchan Aruch. So what happened to the art scroll? What are they doing here in the art scroll? They ran out of the old Shulchan Aruch out of pain. There must be something going on here. There must be
a space instead of the
book. But they have both. Every single time you have a space, you have a samach or a pay. If it's not a tarshuk sucha, seemingly, from what we have learned, you would not be allowed to have a blank line. You're not allowed to just add blank lines in the Sefer Torah for no reason. I think if you learn b'diyed, if you have a blank line in between two chumashim. In between two chumashim, you're supposed to have, we have four blank lines. What happens if you have only one blank line? If I'm not mistaken, it's kosher b'diyed, one blank line. So it goes through that one blank line is a very significant thing. It's already a new chumash. You don't just have blank lines for no reason. If it's a psucha, parsha psucha, according to the Rambam, yeah, that's how you make a parasha psucha. Yeah, if the text comes to the end of the previous line, the way you begin the next parasha with the parasha psucha is by having a blank line. But if the next parasha is not a parasha psucha, you don't have a blank line. The proof of that is Megillas Esther. In the old Megillas Esther, where the Aseres B'nei Haman did not take up an entire column, and the Aseres B'nei Haman appears at the top of the column, when you finish those 11 lines, it right away goes into the continuation of the Megillah, and there is no blank line. If there would be a blank line, that would already be a question of its kasha, because there's no need. So if you learn that Vatikach Miriam is a parasha psucha, if you learn Vayavan Moshe parasha psucha, and the shira must end at the end of the line, because that's through the tsura of the shira, or Riach Gabi Levena, so then how are you going to make a parasha psucha if the shira ends at the end of the line? There's only one way to do it according to the Rambam, and that is to add a blank line.
That's why even in the Chumashim they add a blank line.
And that's why.
They show it
as a blank line.
Yeah.
But that's only assuming. The reason why there's a blank line is because Vatikach Miriam is a parasha psucha. But if you're going to tell me that Vatikach Miriam is not a parasha psucha, it's not a parasha psucha, then l'cha'ora, there should not be a blank line. It should just be immediately juxtaposed, connected to the Shira 4. Unless you'll tell me that part of the laws of Shira, the Shira demands there be a blank line before and after. Maybe there is such a thing to that. I don't know. This week's Parsha, we have a Shira. And Parsha's Chukas, Parsha's, this week's Parsha, this week's Parsha Chukas, we have a Shira. Ali Be'er Enula. There's no blank line. Right?
That's right.
Let me go look at the Halim over here.
It's a minor issue.
No, but it's Oz Yashir is a parasha stuma. It's not written in the tsura of a shira. Oz Yashir is a parasha stuma. Okay, and the next parasha when it's over is a parasha psucha. So the next parasha begins on the beginning of a line, and the shira begins in the middle of the line because the shira itself, at least the way it has here in this chumash, a samach is a parasha stuma. All right. So this is according to the Rambam, the way of the Rambam. Now he brings over here the Rosh. The Rosh says some very bizarre things. The Rosh says, something bizarre, but it's for us a little bit strange because we don't follow these halachas. Now Rosh behilchas sif esar kasav zelashon kasav reutam. Eze psucha. So what is the Rosh? What's called the psucha according to Rabbeinu Tam? Kol shenisha misuyum ha-parsha asoif ha-shita. Now look at what it says over here. This is not what we do. Kishiur gimel tevois shal gimel oizah. That's so far the same. Three words. And each word is the word asher of three letters, which we say is asher, which is right with nine letters. Nine, the space of nine blank letters. Instead of using the word lemishpichoisan, he uses the word of three words, and each word has three letters, which we'll see later means the word asher. It's a very long,
wide letters.
I guess it's wide letters for lemishpichoisan because lemishpichoisan there's some short letters. So each letter is a very wide letter. The zoi psucha. So then, if the next parsha begins, Kol Shmisha Misima Parsha at Sof Hashita Kishir Gimel Teves Shal Gimel Isyos Zo Psucha. So when the next line begins on the beginning of the line after a blank space of nine letters, that is a psucha. That is exactly what the Rambam said. That so far we're the same. That's why we do it, because when you do a psucha line in that fashion, you are being yotzei the Rambam and you're being yotzei the Rosh. V'yim Loi Nisha at Sof Hashita Kishir Azeh. Now look what he says here. So here is where he's choylik on the Rambam. You do not need to leave a blank line. The Rambam says if you don't have nine blank space at the end of the line, you need to leave a blank line. What you do is maniach shita achas kulo. He does maniach shita achas kulo cholok umaschil, and you begin the I don't know this.
The third line.
The zub sucha point. So that's exactly the Rambam. That's exactly the Rambam. You leave a blank line. So far everything is the same. Ustuma. So here's the difference. Ustuma kol shakos atchilas hashita v'soif hashita. If you have writing of the end of the previous parasha and the beginning of the new parasha, umaniach cholak beemsa. You leave blank space. Now, how much blank space? Here is the difference. A stuma lefi the rosh, you only need to leave two blank letters in between the previous parasha and the next parasha. You don't need to have nine blank letters. Also notice he makes no mention of indenting the next line. Remember, we learned the Rambam. Yes, the Rambam said the very chiddush. If you go to the very, very end of the parasha, and the previous parasha ends at the end of the row, end of the line, and the next parasha needs to be a stuma, indent. Just begin the next parasha in the middle of the line, even though there are no letters in the beginning of the line. That is valid, according to the Rambam, as a parasha stuma. Do we do that? No. Why don't we do that? Because the Rosh says it's no good. The Rosh makes no mention of that. So according to the Rosh, that would not be a valid stuma. So we are machmir like the Rambam. I mean, the Rambam, there's no argument on what is a psucha, but when it comes to a stuma, we never do that. We always begin a stuma after blank space. But if you want to follow the Rosh, you don't need to have more than two letters of blank space. That's why we're machmir like the Rambam, never to begin a parasha stuma on the same line unless we have nine blank letters.
The last words.
Yeah.
Doesn't come to the end of the line. It comes to the middle.
No. It's not so.
Which tikkun do you have? I don't know.
Okay, you're saying something very, very good. You're saying
so
something.
There's enough lines. If you don't start at the beginning, then it would look like you're.
There is. If you look in the tikkun simonim, they do something very strange at the end of the shira. They leave less than nine blank letters. You're right. You're touching upon something. Something is a very big hot topic. On how to end off the Shira in Oz Yashir. In the classic Sefer Torah, 99.9% of the Sefer Torah, it's the way it appears in the art scroll, Chumash, is the word Hayom, is the very last word on, It's the very, very last word on the row. There's a Chumrah, I think, which was what we spoke about, Vatikach Miriam, is a Psucha, is it Stuma? And they do is similar to what some people do for the tefillin. The parasha, we mentioned this yesterday, parasha v'chayah im shamaya. the fourth parasha in the Tefillin, how do you begin it? Some say that they begin it, they indent slightly less than 9 letters, and they combine the less than 9 letters at the beginning of Echayim Shemayim with the less than 9 letters they leave over at the end of Shema to form a parasha Stuma. Okay, so they do something similar to that at the end of the Shira. The only place I saw this is in, I never saw a Sefer Torah like this. I did see this in the newer editions of the Tikkun Simonim. Not in the old editions. The old edition of the Tikkun Simonim, they did it like this, like the Arts were finished. For some reason, they changed.
How many spaces are there by the Stuba before Vayechi?
Nothing. Vayechi did nothing. It's just regular. Like a regular start.
They leave one
space.
No, so Chazal say it should have been that. Right. It's called Stuma. Okay. Now, here the Rosh says something which is very bizarre. And the Aruch HaShulchan says it's very bizarre. The Rosh says there is a third parsha. If you've been fooled, Rabbi Yisai, you only think there's a parsha Stuma and a parsha Tzucha, you've been told this in kindergarten, there's a Peh and a Samach, there's a third type of parsha. Anyone hear this? Not Chazak, a third parasha, it's called a Sidura. The Gam Sidura, it says here, look what he writes over here, Usidura, what is a Sidura? There's a parasha Psucha, a parasha Stuma, and there's a parasha Sidura. What? Whoever heard of this? Whoever heard of a parasha Sidura? And how do you write a parasha Sidura? So he says Sidura, that means because of Ashita ad Chetzieha, you write the parasha to the previous parasha in the middle, o at shlishisa, or until a third of the row. Umaschil lichtoiv b'shita tachteha kineged hashita shel elyoina. The next line continues where you left off in the previous line. So the previous line you write until a certain point. And the next line, you leave blank space, and you first begin where you left off. You ever heard that before? A parasha sedura? No one ever heard of this before.
You wouldn't find a sefer Torah like that.
Zuhi sedura, period. Now, enters the Aruch HaShulchan. We're not going to do this just a few more. Ze motza Rabbeinu Tam, betikun kadmoin, two more lines. Ze motza Rabbeinu Tam, betikun kadmoin, malkan lashon, this is the Rosh. The Rosh is quoting the Rabbeinu Tam, in the Tikkun Kadmoinim, in the Tikkun means the arrangement of the early Seifrim, the Kadmoinim, the ancient Seifrim, this is what they did. Ad Kan L'Shayna. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan reviews. We learned yesterday the Rambam. We just mentioned over here the Rosh. Now, let's summarize the Rambam and the Rosh, because bottom line is what we do B'Zman HaZeh, is the Chumrus, the common denominator, Chumrus of the Rambam and the Rosh. Vineh. With regard to Bipsucha, how the Rosh describes a parsha Pisucha, who could divi harama? Excellent. There's no difference whatsoever. Okay, there's no difference whatsoever between the Rambam and the Rosh. Either you end off in the middle of the row, and you leave 9 blank spaces, and you begin the beginning of the next line, or if you end off at the end of the row, where there is not 9 blank spaces, you have to skip an entire line. Zu kedivri avol b'stuma. Avol b'stuma. Bye bye b'stuma. Chadoshos higid. The Rosh over here has taught us new things that we never heard of. We never heard of things that he read. First of all, the Rosh completely leaves out what the Rambam says. The Rosh makes no mention that you can start a stuma in the middle of a row, middle of a line. According the way we make a stuma is it has to be text in the beginning of the line, and you start at the end of the line, and you have blank space in the middle. The Rambam says, in the event, if you finish off the previous section at the end of the line, so you can begin a parasha stuma by indenting in the next line. We don't do that. But the Rambam says that's valid. That's valid. And then we had a discussion, why is that called stuma? Where is it sealed? Where is the second? It looks like it's stuma, so it's good enough. The Rosh makes no mention that this can be considered valid stuma, that's why we don't do it. But the Rosh has a very great leniency, is that when you do have text on the same line, you don't need nine blank spaces in the middle. It's sufficient just to have two blank spaces. The die behefsik shtei oisyois levad. That's good. That's also called a stuma. And then the Aruch HaShulchan says that the Rosh says something that no one ever heard of before. The gam sidura. Who ever heard of a parsha sidura? Parsha psucha, parsha stuma. The gam sidura lo nimsa berambam. The Rambam never made mention of such a concept. Ula harambam, according to the Rambam, what you're describing as a stuma, which means that the previous line goes to a certain point, and then you go down to the next line, and you begin where you left off, exactly in that same spot as you begin. That would be, according to the Rambam, that would be a stuma. Ula Rambam, zehu stuma. That would be a stuma. Now that's not so clear either, because only be called a stuma, according to the Rambam, l'chayra, if you have less than nine spaces. If you have more than nine spaces, according to the Rambam, it seems, maybe the Rambam also holds this, if you ever indent, in the beginning of the line, he seems to learn that according to the Rambam, that's always going to be called the parasha stuma. It acknowledges that Tosfos likes like the Rosh. He writes that you only need to have two blank letters in between the previous parasha and this parasha. V'sharoisha v'soifa sasum. It's called sasum kloimar. Kloimar, ksiv, v'soifa sasum. I don't know what that means. Kloimar, I don't know what he writes over here. Usidura perusho shemesudorim hashita zukinegedzu. Sidura means they are arranged. Where this line leaves off, that's where this line begins. The makom she'elyon nigmeres misham hashni maschelas. He winds down now. Ach leikur sham ze. Iker sham ze loy noida lanu. We never heard of this before. The Aruch HaShulchan says the ein b'toyra el psucha ustuma v'rabenu habesyoise b'sifre hagodl kosav shuhu gam kein kistuma ayin sham. We never heard of such a thing over here as this. What the Rosh claims is a parasha sidura, and you should begin the next line where the previous line ends off. There's a mesora that there's certain parashas are supposed to be called the siduros. According to our understanding, l'fil Rambam, this will be called the parasha stuma. And the bottom line is, we do not do this at all.
There is such a thing as a sidura. We never saw anything like this.
It's not our tradition. It's not our. Obviously, according to the Rosh, there was a tradition that some parashas are psuchas, some are stumas, and some are siduras.
Never saw that in an old.
Never saw that. Doesn't exist. Not that I've ever heard of. And according to the Rosh, there's a very big fundamental difference between the parasha, the very shunidic way to make a parasha stuma. You leave two blank spaces in between the previous section and the next section. Now, I just want to tell you, this is Negelach Lemaisa. Why do I say Negelach Lemaisa? Because I once had a sefer, the sefer I used to learn from often, and it was strange that the sefer, the old sefer Torah that was fixed up, someone, I think, he paid $10,000 to have it restored. He got it from Russia, Ukraine, and we got it from. He brought it to America, he had it restored, he paid $10,000. And it was one bizarre thing in the whole Sefer Torah that every parsha began a little space. So, let's say a parsha, the parshios that don't be, that begin, in the, there aren't that many of them, that begin in the middle of, a middle of, in the middle of a pasuk. What, you have any examples? There's no pasuk.
In the middle of a pasuk.
Middle of a line. Middle of a line. So which parsha is like that? Told us? Vayeshev. Vayeshev is another parshios. There may be like a handful of them.
Vayishma Yisrael.
Okay, there are a handful of parshios. Maybe Vayishlach. Toldos, Eila Toldos. There are a handful of parshios that begin in the middle of a, It's not a parsha psucha. It's not a parsha psucha, and it's not a parsha stuma. It's just a soif pasuk. It's a soif pasuk, and that's the end of the previous parsha, and then begins the next parsha. Parshas Vayigash. Parsha is a parsha stuma, right? Parsha is a parsha stuma. What about parsha smikates? Is that the parasha I'm referring to? Vayihi miketz, yeah. Parashas Nino, parasha Psuchi writes over here. Okay, maybe not. I have to go look. Parashas Vayeshev. And we have to, maybe it's not a riot, because you have to see how it's in the Sefer Torah. I don't know. There are very, very few parashos that begin as a beginning of a new pasuk. The pasuk ends, and then the next pasuk begins, and the next pasuk happens in the beginning of a new parasha, and it's not a parasha psucho, not a parasha stuma. In this Sefer Torah, the Sefer wanted to make it easy for you. Or could be it was the aliyos, that's what I'm thinking about. He wanted to make it easy for you, so he added a little bit more space. And now remember, the aliyos also, that's what it was. It's not necessarily the beginning of the parasha. Right. In between Rishon and Sheni, and Sheni and Shlishi, it's a long time ago, now I'm being commander, he left a little bit more space than usual. What?
All kinds of gear size.
Not gear size.
There's some people make
Shani
a little different.
Okay, but there's a very common, most of them are pretty much the same. So in order to make it easy for the reader to find the place when he gives the aliyah to the next person, when the aliyah begins in the middle of a section, which is very, very common, right? Forget about the parsha, but then we get an aliyah, he left a little bit more space than usual.
Okay, that's
kosher. So I was right away taken aback. You want to do this? It's kosher. I mean, who wrote the Sefer Torah? I mean, what's going on? Especially this person spent so much money. We saw the Sefer Torah. You want to do this? How can you do it? So, what could be? You have to always work. Start out. It's good. You have to find a reason why it should be no good. The different paiskim. Some paiskim. Whatever you ask them, usher. On Shabbos, can I do this? Usher. Can I play this game on Shabbos? Usher. Can I do this? Such a usher. Then, but I really need to. Oh, I'm going to have to work. I have to find you a heter. A real paisek, you ask him a shayla, and they say to you, I was once really amazed. I went to the paisek, asked a shayla, complicated shayla. So he said to me, let's try to understand why it should be asur. L'chayr it should be mutter. He started off, the real Talmud Chacham.
Right.
You start off, you have a question. I want to do something on Shabbos. Of course you can do it. The Torah is trying to make your life crazy. Of course you can do it on Shabbos. Why should there be a problem? What could be the possibilities? What potential problems can there be? Maybe this is a Shiloh? No, it's not a Shiloh. Maybe this is a Shiloh? This is a reason? No. You go through all the possibilities, you knock them all down, you're in business, you can do it on Shabbos. What is your approach? Say the Sefer Torah. Just because you find the Shin in the Sefer Torah, automatically it's possible. I mean, that's the nation we live with today. Everything, right? You deviate one iota out of the box, out of the game. So he made a shinu. It's not the mistoira. Okay, it's not what you do. Just because it's a little more space, should it be possible?
Make space after every single puzzle. It's also what? A big deal.
You're not supposed to. So what should be the reason?
There should be one letter space between words?
What?
Between words.
It says there should be one letter. In between words, one letter space. And in between letters, a mashahu. And that's it. There's no different seif pasuk and anything else. There's only a parasha pasuk and stuma. So this seifer, he left more space between the aliyos. So why should it be no good? The rush. You're bordering upon the rush. Because according to the rush, if you leave more than two spaces between the pasuk, you have made this into a parsha stuma, and there is beferish a place of a parasha which is not supposed to be stuma, and you make a stuma. The Sefer Torah is puzzle. We learned that before. It's beferish darach hashulchan, the shulchan aruch. So in a chanami, you're really getting close. If you leave a little bit more space, and it's not two letters, okay. So you know you're really getting close. You're really playing games. You get a little carried away. You leave two letters. We don't pass him like the Rosh. But we don't pass him like the Rosh, not because we don't pass, because we're Machmer, like the Rambam. To make a Parsha Stuma, you leave nine blank spaces in between the previous Parshas. But you can't forget what the Rosh says. The Rosh says that if you leave two blank spaces, it's a Parsha Stuma. So if a Sefer leaves too much space in between Psukim, you're bordering upon a very serious Shiloh with the Sefer Torah's Mamish Pasul. Okay, so this is something very interesting. All right, what time is it now? Yeah.
The first pasuk is not a
whole straight line.
So you need a blank line before. So
why do you need a blank line before? That's a very good question. Why?
Because the pasuk beforehand But Moshe Abdai ends at the end of the line.
So why do you need it? Let me ask you a question, simple question. Is Oz Yashir a parsha Pesucha or a parsha Stuma? What?
Before Oz Yashir.
That's the question. Is Oz Yashir...
Whatever it is, if you change the Oz Yashir...
What if it's not a parsha?
But let's ask a question.
If you don't start Oz Yashir from the beginning of the line, then you're not building Ariyah HaGabal Avena. It won't work out.
Started at the beginning of the line, but only there's blank space in front of it.
Why do you need a blank line in front of an Oz Yashir?
Yeah, there is a blank line.
There's one blank space.
There's a one line.
That's our dilemma.
Once you have a line in the front of it, if you wouldn't have a line at the end of it, you would continue.
Well, you should know.
You think the next part would be part of the Shira.
There's a very famous story. I should be aware of this. When you lay in the shoe, we need Am Psuk of the Zimra. We're going off topic and just finish up. We need Am Psuk of the Zimra. Psuk of the Zimra every single day. When you come to Oz Yashir, those who say Oz Yashir again and the Psuk of the Zimra, you say Hashem Yiloch Lilom Voed. How many times do you say Hashem Yiloch Lilom Voed?
Twice.
Yeah. Why? And then you say the Targum. Some say the Targum. So why do you say it twice? So the main reason you say it is to indicate that this is the end of the Shira. It's the end of Shira. Really? The part of the Shira goes on. Yeah. It says, and now does it go on? Does it go on? It's also written Ariach al Gabi Levena. And then when you finish all that, then there's a blank line before you go, it just goes to Shofar and goes. And indeed, there are different minhagim that many people who lay the Shira with a special nigun, when they get to Hashem Yimloch, that's the last time they lay with a special nigun. When they say Kivasus,
Miriam. The end of that pasuk.
No, they don't do that. Hashem, that's why I have different minhagim. It's a different minhagim, but some people follow the Shita. It's a machloikis rishonim, where does the Shira end? And Ramban and Rashi or other rishonim. So many people follow the Shita that the Shira ends Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed. The proof is Psuka de Zimra. We say it twice. If that's the case, that's why many Bali Kriya, who are Medakdek, when they sing Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed, I've heard this in a few shuls, they sing it, and then when they Kivas Sus Paro, that's it. They lay it in the regular Nigun, even though in the Chumash it's still written Arich Gabi Levena, and then there's a blank line. In fact, there was a famous story. There was a Sofer, a very powerful Sofer in the time. I think it was in the time of the Chassam Sofer, who went on a crusade to tell all of the Soferim to stop. It's not a good word to use for Torah, right? But he went out all the way out on a limb to tell all of the Soferim they should stop writing Arich Gabi Levena for the last pasuk. Since the Shira ends Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed, that should be the end of the line, and then you should skip a blank line and you should go into regular text. And he went out and he brought Raya's and all the Rishonim that this is the end of the Shira and doesn't make any sense. And the Gedolim told him, I don't remember where I saw this. They said to him, the kasha you have is an excellent kasha. Sorech in Godel Adma Od, why it's still written Arich Gabi Levena, according to the Rishonim will hold that the Shira ends Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed. But listen, this is the Mesorah, and there is we don't have any record anywhere of any old Sefer Torah otherwise. So don't come along and make changes. And he didn't want to take no for an answer. And he went out. Trying to persuade, and he died. Misa Meshune, it says in the story. Something awful happened to him very shortly thereafter. Look, we're not into those type of stories, but it's a good kasha. It's still written this way, but the blank lines definitely are very curious. Why are there blank lines? If you want to go learn the next parsha psucha, it makes perfect sense. If it's not a parsha psucha, we got a trouble, unless we want to say that part of the din of a shira demands it be separated by a blank line before and a blank line after. That's a chiddush to say such a thing. That a blank line is, it's not, what's the blank line? Is the blank line shayach to the next parsha, or is the blank line shayach to the shira? The shira, where does it go? All right, we'll take a short break. Stop here.